Some of those songs are so powerful, aren't they? Some of the lyrics are so amazing. And when Sheila was praying about covenant, it made me think about how all the covenants that are in the Bible through the Old Testament, they all have shadows in them of Christ. They're all pointing. And, you know, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he came down and Abraham cut all these animals in half and laid them on the ground. I think it's Genesis 15. And the Lord appeared in a pillar of fire and passed through the middle of these carcasses. And when they had covenant back then, what they would do is they would do something like that to an animal, and they're saying, if I break this covenant, let this be done to me. Let me be torn apart. It's a blood covenant. But the interesting thing is that when God made the covenant with Abraham, he didn't ask Abraham to pass through the carcasses. And what God's saying is, if I break this covenant, let me be torn apart. We know that's not going to happen, right? But he's also saying, if you break this covenant, let me be torn apart. And that's Christ. That's Christ. That's amazing. So that's the new covenant that we're in. And, you know, it just amazes me how, you know, Brian's prepared these songs for this morning, and there's so many things in these songs that are just so what we're going to be talking about this morning, and people's prayers, and it really lets us know that we're hearing from God, we're hearing from the Spirit of the Lord, and I find that really encouraging. And we had that at the worship night the other week as well. I was doing worship, and it was almost three or four times before we would go into a next song, somebody would pray out, almost even identically, some of the words of the song. And it's incredible how the Holy Spirit does that. So let's just pray about this. God, we're going to open your word, and we look to you because it's your word, it's your truth, and without your Spirit, it's just dead wood. So we ask for your Spirit, Lord, to come and to open our hearts to bring freedom. Lord, we thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Truth sets us free. The Spirit is truth, says in 1 John. So God, it's you. You're the one. It's your Spirit, Jesus. It's your truth. And it's for freedom that you set us free. So come and do something in our hearts this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. And I just commit myself to you, Lord, and pray. Have your way. Say what you want to say. Bring the scriptures that you want, Holy Spirit, and be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we are in Colossians 2. We've made it up to 11. We've made it up to 11. Close, Oliver. See, if you have your Bible, go ahead. And I just want to start this morning by just saying, the first thing that we're going to talk about, last night I was thinking about it, and I thought, man, this might be a little bit borderline for some people. It might be a bit of a touchy, I don't know. So I just want to ask you to guard your heart. I'm not trying to be crude or offensive in any way. I'm just going to preach what it says. I'm not going to open it up too much more. But I just want you to know that I'm not trying to be offensive, but I do want to actually preach what it's saying. So I'm not saying you're all likely to be offended. I'm conscious that there's children. I'm conscious that some people might. Anyway, I just felt to say that. Here we go. So in Christ, in Him, do we have the thing? Oh no, we don't have the thing. Okay. So we're at Colossians 2:11. Says, in Him, I'll just back up one verse. Verse 10 that we finished on before, we talked about how we're complete in Him. And if we're complete in Him, we need to find out who we are in Him. And that's what this is all about. That's what the gospel's all about. It's about who we've become in Christ. and us growing in that revelation to the point where until we find out who we are in Him, who we are apart from Him can never really properly die. This isn't too confusing. When it's not until we find out in who we are in Him, who our identity in Christ, that's the point where we can actually start to live who He is in us. Because we will never let Christ rise up in us if our life is all still about us. Do you understand? You first have to deny yourself if you want to become a follower of Jesus. You have to leave and abandon your own way and your own life. So, but we don't have the confidence to do that, to let go of the only identity that we've known of ourselves until we begin to find out who we are in Him. That's not confusing. So we're finding out who we are in Him, and as we do that, we're dying. Yeah? We're dying so that we can live. If you lose your life, you'll find it. So we're dying to everything we were never created to be, so we can become what He's always created us to be. Awesome. Awesome. In Him. So in Him, we're complete, okay? And now, moving forward, it says, in Him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The Amplified says the putting off of your carnal sinful nature. I think the NIV says the old self or the whole self ruled by the flesh. Is that right? Someone have the NIV? Yeah. The whole self ruled by the flesh. So I'm just going to be honest. I've had so many people since I've got saved come up to me and talk about how we have a sinful nature and, you know, talk about the weakness of the flesh. I was very rare. In fact, I don't think I've ever had anyone come up to me and say, He's cut away my sinful nature. Wow. But that's what it says. The New Living Translation says, He performed a spiritual circumcision on us, the cutting away of our sinful nature. Now this is, in Israel, this is why the covenant thing was speaking to me, is because the covenant that was with the fathers was involved circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. And now in this new covenant, there's also a circumcision, but the physical circumcision was a shadow of the greater reality of the new heart, the new spirit, and the cutting away of the sinful nature, which comes in the new covenant. This will not help you at all unless you believe it. And that's what we talked about last week, about how you've got to mix it with faith. Because probably we've all got a life experience that we've lived where it doesn't really seem like our sinful nature's been cut away. So if you're going to live by your experience, then you'll try and interpret this in some weird way, and sometimes we call that theology, but yet Jesus is saying become like a child, because it's the simplicity that's in Christ, and this is not actually complicated. What it's saying is what it's saying. He has actually cut away our sinful nature. Now here's the thing, if our sinful nature's been cut away, it's still our privilege, if we want, to wear that thing around. But it's dead. It's not you. And it's been cut away. It's the old man. But like I said before, we'll never leave that behind and kind of come out of the tomb and come out of the grave and begin to walk in freedom in Christ until we really learn who we are in Him. The reason people struggle to let go of their past is because it's the only place they've ever found a sense of identity. We identify ourselves through what we've been through what's happened to us, through, could be in a bad way, could be in a good way, career, whatever, could be all that stuff, but none of that's really the truth about us, and none of that stuff's eternal. So we want to get established in who we are in Christ, because our lives are hidden in Christ. We talked about that last week as well. So did you know that? Did you know that your sinful nature's been cut away? Isn't that good? And so if we, you know, our minds can run when we read stuff like this, and we could say, yeah, but then if that, and, you know, you could go on forever. But there's a place to just take this to the Lord and just say, your word says my sinful nature has been cut away. You've separated me from it. And so now I want to grow in this other place. The Bible says to make no provision for the flesh. And there's a language sometimes in the body of Christ which makes provision for the flesh. And sometimes it's just ignorance. Sometimes it's false humility. A lot of the times it's just ignorance. We don't know that our sinful nature has been cut away. We don't know that we were baptized into his death. That's why Romans 6 says, or do you not know that you were baptized into his death, which he died to sin? He who has died has been set free from sin. So there's all these, or do you not know, phrases. And it's because sometimes we don't know this stuff. So the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, the sinful carnal nature, sinful nature, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him. Our old man's been buried with him in baptism. Through which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God. So there's something that has to happen in our mindsets now, in our mentality, where we have to actually grasp that we've died with Christ and now we're alive with him. Because the Bible's telling us it's true, but yet in Romans, I'm going to read a few verses from Romans 6, which will just really bring some clarity. I'll just read. I'm just going to read a bunch of it, actually. I'll start at verse 1. Well, shall we sin then so that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? See, there it is. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as, this is the purpose of God revealed in that language, that just as, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So he wants to put new life in us because we're in a new covenant, and he wants to put his spirit in us, a new heart and a new spirit, and actually fill us with his own life and share himself with us. So if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, see, this is where we've got to lay hold of this stuff by faith. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, so we've got to know this as we press forward. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And we died with him. This is what baptism's all about. This is actually what baptism is. Is not just a ritual. It's not just a public declaration of faith. It's where we actually get the privilege. God gives us these things. We call them ordinances, but they're places for us to connect our faith to and say, hey, I died with him. My old man died, buried, and I'm a new creation. I've got new life in me. He who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe. See, we got to track with this. If we died with him, it just told us we died with him. So can we agree we died with him? We died with him? We died with him. Right. Now, if we believe that, we also have to believe this. It says, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. We were singing about that, the victory of the cross. The death he died to sin. Once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now this is the first bit of direct instruction in the book of Romans. Romans 6:11. And I think there's not another one for quite some chapters as well. And this is for us. We've got to do this in our hearts, in our minds. Likewise, you also, he died to sin, right? And the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also, he's bringing us in now. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Reckon yourselves. That means change the way you think. Change your mentality. I reckon. You've got to reckon yourselves. You've got to count yourselves. You've got to consider yourselves dead to sin. This is our mentality has got to shift. There's so much language that I hear of people saying, yeah, but we've got a sinful nature. We're always going to sin, but God knows, da 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 da. That's not what this is teaching. The Bible is teaching us to count ourselves dead to sin. And he goes on and he says, man, I'm using extreme language because of the weakness of your flesh to help you guys understand. When he's using slaves, words like slaves and dead, he's being extreme on purpose. Because if you're dead, you're dead, right? So, yeah, but no, there's no yeah, but you're dead. You're dead to sin. So, but we've got to, it's true, in Christ, he died to sin for us. He became our sin, dealt with it, took it away so we could become right in the sight of God. It's all true, but it's by faith that we grab a hold of this stuff, and it's not going to produce fruit in our lives, which this chapter goes and talks about, and I could get stuck in Romans 6 for ages, but it's not going to produce fruit in our lives until we actually do the reckoning part. Do you know what I mean? And actually, you've got to say, no, I died to sin. That's not my agenda anymore. I'm alive to God. I'm walking with God, and he's filling me with his life, and he's going to glorify himself in my life because I've been justified, been rendered clean and innocent. I have peace with God. I've got access by faith into the grace in which I now stand, and I boast in the hope of the glory of God. He's changing me. He's taking me from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory, and people are going to know there's a God because of my life, because they're going to see Christ in me because he's changing me. I'm being transformed according to his image by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you with me? So, but we've got to get in line with this. I found people get challenged with this. They're really challenged with this teaching because we've just hammered sin consciousness, and it's religion. I'm just going to be straight with you. It's religion. It's not the gospel. He came to get us free from sin. That doesn't mean sinless perfection, you're never going to make a mistake. It means he came to get you free from sin. And if you sin, the Bible says, if you sin, we say when you sin. And then we talk about fasting and people say, yeah, I might fast if you fast. The Bible says when you fast and if you sin. We say when you sin and if I fast. It's the wrong way around. We've got to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because the Bible actually says anybody who's born of God doesn't continue living in sin. It says, we know that this reason the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So we've got to change the way we think about sin. Sin is very bad. I'm not saying this isn't a license to sin. This is actually where we get freedom from sin in our lives. This is where holiness happens as we grow in our identity in Christ. Otherwise, we can keep regulating and limiting our lives by our own past experience and keep sitting our own tests and coming up with our own resume and deciding who we are, and it's total deception. It's apart from him. And he's saying, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Okay. I wanted to just talk about that reckoning. You've got to change the way you think. Later in the chapter, it talks about the way that we've been delivered from sin is because we've been delivered to a new doctrine. That means a new teaching, a new way of thinking. And it goes on and talks about it's the doctrine of righteousness. It's when we in our heart believe, oh, I've been made right with God. While I was a sinner, he loved me and came and died for me. Now he's translated me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's presented me holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. I said it last week, and I said I probably you won't hear me say it too many times. And I say it as a concession because people do struggle with this. In and of myself, on my own, outside of Christ, I am a sinner. And if you knew my life and you knew my past, man, and it's not that I get it perfect now, but I'm never going to be outside of Christ again. I'm never going to be separated from him. Now it's about growing in who I've become in him. That's where the grace comes. That's where the transformation comes. That's where the freedom comes. And it says, if you sin, in 1 John, it says, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the mercy for our sins. And not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. So his blood speaking a better word over my life. You'll read that if you read that Hebrews passage I talked about as well. And that's just how it is. That's who I am. My identity is found in him. My identity is in him alone. And it says, if you believe that, I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but if you go on and read the rest of Romans 6, it says, if you go on and believe that doctrine, if you go ahead and get established in righteousness, it'll produce fruit of holiness in your life. Holiness isn't a work of the flesh. It's not biting your lip and trying hard. It's trying harder. It's believing who we've become in him. And as faith rises up, grace comes. He works in us to will and do for his good pleasure. He gets the glory. That's the thing about grace. He gets the glory. I am what I am by the grace of God. I was a mess 5 years ago. I was a real, real mess. You've got no idea. I was the most twisted, selfish, depraved. It was terrible. But I found myself in him. And he's filling me with his life. Okay, get back to Colossians. So I wanted to really, we have to talk about this stuff because this is where freedom comes. It's truth what sets us free. So we need to know this. There's a spiritual circumcision that happened to you. But like we talked about last week, if we don't get established in faith, he who supplied, this Paul says, this I want to learn from you. How did you receive the Spirit? Was it by the works of the law or was it by the hearing of faith? Faith, of course. And then he goes on and he says, and he who supplies the Spirit among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Faith, it's faith. So the supply of the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, the continual God sharing his life, his nature, his heart with us, comes as we grow in faith. And that's why if you were the devil or I was the devil and we were smart, what would we be attacking? The belief system of the church. That's the one thing. And that's why false teaching is so rampant. That's why there's so many warnings through the New Testament about false teaching. Because if Satan can just get a bit of leaven in there, it'll actually spread. And then you'll be stuck under the base elements of the world, even though you are a son, even though you have an inheritance in Christ and every spiritual blessing now in the heavenly realms is yours, you won't benefit from it because a son doesn't differ at all from a slave until he comes of age and gets the inheritance, okay? So by faith, we've got to start to grab this stuff. We've been circumcised, spiritual circumcision, okay? And if I was preaching in a men's night or something, I'd be hammering this thing in a different style. Because there's a cool way you can preach it, but we can't do that, and that's fine. But let's just grab this. There's a spiritual circumcision that has happened. God has cut something away. We were dead in our trespasses and in the uncircumcision of our flesh. We were by nature children of wrath. But he has made us alive together with him. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that good? We're forgiven. We're washed in the blood. We have access to God. We've got access to him. That was impossible before. That was totally impossible. Even Moses, who used to go outside the camp and meet with God in a really personal, it says face to face, as a friend talks to a friend. That's how Moses used to meet with God. But then after the Israelites sinned, Moses couldn't even come into the tabernacle of meeting because the glory of the Lord was there, because he's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Do you know that the curtain in the tabernacle, this is my favorite thing to talk about. You know, the curtain in the tabernacle was separating the most holy place from the holy place, right? And it was this place that only once a year, one person, one high priest, type and shadow of Christ, could go. And he couldn't go in there without blood. And it's amazing. And Christ tore that curtain. But you know, the curtain was purple and it was blue and purple and scarlet. Okay, scarlet's like an orangey red. Did you know that that red that is actually man? It's representative of man. Adam means red. Did you know that blue is actually representative of the heavens? Back in the old times, blue meant heavens. And so to them, blue represented heaven. And what happened is in Christ, who whose flesh was the veil that was torn, blue, heaven, came down to red, down to man, which is purple if you mix blue and red together. It's also royalty. And in Christ, the veil was torn. And now we can come into the presence of God. And he can put his spirit and his life back in us because the law is fulfilled. Every trespass is forgiven. The handwriting of requirements against us was contrary to us has been taken away. Nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle over them. And I'll do some little paraphrases in my Bible, and I've written, any influence, authority, jurisdiction, power, mastery, right, rank or rule, any privilege, freedom, mastery or control that any part of hell had over us was crushed and finished on the cross. That's what that means. If you look up all the words, if you look up all the, that's what that means. So that's a good day. Triumphing over them in it. This is what Jesus did. This is the total victory that he's won. But all of this stuff, like we prayed earlier about how it can become dead wood without the Spirit, we are the only ones who can take this stuff and begin to, in an intimate way, get alone with the Lord and begin to commune with God and build our relationship with him. Because that's the place where this actually becomes transformational. And that's the place where knowing God, like Moses did, God reality, actual relationship with God comes into our life. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you seek me in the secret place, my Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. And I find a lot of the time, one of the, I think, biggest things that's missing sometimes in the body of Christ is really just that intimate communion with the Lord. We can learn our Bibles, we can do a devotion, we can have a good Christian conversation sometimes, but it's really learning to commune and be with him and be aware of his presence and actually have a relationship with him. That's where this stuff comes alive and becomes transformational in our lives. And we're all growing in that. We're all growing in that. But sometimes we've got to take some real steps. And for me, one of the things, there's a bunch of things that I've done, and I feel a bit vulnerable sharing some of this stuff. And some of this stuff I've copied from other people, and I'm not ashamed to say that. But I didn't copy it as a method. I copied it because I saw the value in it, and I made it my own. And, I mean, Jesus said, you go into a room and you close the door, right? And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. And I've done that for years. I go into my room in the morning and I close the door behind me. And it's not weird. It's not works, but it's a contact point of faith for me that I'm with him. And that's been dry. That's been, you know, no kind of feelings involved. It was like that for a long time, but just by faith I go, no, if I seek you, I find you. If I seek you in the secret, if I ask for the Holy Spirit, you give. And I've got all these scriptures that are my foundation of faith when I go to seek him. And so it's over now. I'm not trying to believe that he's in there anymore. I'm overwhelmed by his presence. I'm overwhelmed by His love, by God reality in my life. He's given me a stewardship of His presence. And it's not about feelings. It's not about experiences. But man, if you have a relationship with someone, you'll have experiences with them. You will. And so that's a great thing that I have in my life. Another thing that I learned to do, and I copied this off someone, is to just go and grab a daisy. And I do this all the time. And it ruins me. And to just take a petal and just thank Him that He loves me. And to just take another petal and thank Him that He loves me. And there's never a petal that doesn't say that He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And it's not works. It's faith. It's faith. We're rooted and grounded in faith and growing in a revelation of God's love. And that's the place where we get filled with His Spirit. It's not works. We're believing and receiving His love, and He's filling us with His Spirit. I have no idea where we're going. I think I'm just going to wrap it up here. Yep. Yeah. You know, when the last few days as I've been reading this passage, I haven't been able to get past the first verse. Literally, I go to read this. I was telling the boys, it's like I just want to read the passage once before church, and I can't read past the first verse because it's just exploding in me. Because I applied this to my life a long time ago. He's cut away my sinful nature. I'm not a slave of sin. I've reckoned myself dead to sin. Like, it's done. That happened years ago, and that's established in me. So I'm not a person with a sin problem. I'm a person with a covenant and a loving God, and I'm a person who's been made righteous, and I'm a person who's growing in my awareness of His delight and pleasure in me. And I feel like that's the end. So maybe we'll just pray. I think the reason I just shared some of the relationship stuff at the end there is because really Jesus said, I'm the way to the Father. He never really said, I'm the way to heaven. He's the way back to the Father. And if you read the Bible, the whole thing is talking about God bringing man back to Himself because He loves us and because we're precious to Him. And the garden was like a temple. The garden was a place of intimacy and communion with the Father. And sin cut us off and separated us from that. And that's what He came to restore. He came to get us back to intimacy with Him. So, you know, I'm not sick of preaching or anything. We can just preach and steam through it. But it's just like every time I pray about what God wants me to say, almost every time I've ever preached, He always says, invite people to know me, invite people to know me, invite people to know me, because He wants us to come into this relationship with Him, not just this knowledge about Him. And that's really where our lives are transformed. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You've done this, that you made this covenant with Abraham. You made a covenant even in the garden, Lord, and You said that there was a seed who was coming who'd crush the head of the serpent. And that's what we've been reading about on the cross. You crushed the head of the serpent. And yes, the serpent struck Your heel. Jesus, You were struck. You were struck for us. And You became a curse for us. You've lifted the curse. And You've restored us to the Father. And we now have access to You, Lord, to this most holy place, because You have made us holy because of Your blood. That's incredible. Lord, draw us deeper. Help us to hear You saying and calling, like the psalmist says, my heart has heard You say, seek My face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Help us to hear You drawing us, Lord. After a big long day when we feel like just flicking the telly on, and help us to go, no, I'm going to go be with the Lord. And just to cultivate this relationship with You, Lord, where we learn to hear Your voice. Because it's only in that place of hearing Your voice, Lord, that we won't listen to the wisdom of the stranger who is also speaking. And we've all grown up being trained by that voice, Lord, because of the fall of man. And we have to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we thank you, Father, that you love us, and we thank you that you're calling us into a deeper place of knowing you. And that's all I can pray, but if we all agree in our hearts, just acknowledge the Lord and just say, I'm coming, Lord, I'm coming. And let's seek him. Let's seek the Lord. While he may be found, it says in Isaiah 55. Call out to him while he is near. Because surely in a day of great floods, they will not come near me. There's a time where it's too late. There's a time where we can't know him. And honestly, we don't have time to not have time for him now. Did you catch that? We don't have time to not have time for him now. There's no time to not have time. And there's too much time at stake in eternity to not have time for him now. So, praise you, Lord. Sing a song. Yeah. Finish with a, well, we're going to sing a hymn, To God Be the Glory.